impact of militarism and gun violence here in our district, and we see it as it is impacting our schools and our young people. We just had a wonderful campaign here in D.C. as we joined millions of people calling attention to gun violence in our schools. And this year marked one of the deadliest years of gun violence impacting our schools in our history. And so we have an issue with gun violence in our nation, and we're calling attention and we're asking people of moral conscience and moral faith to stand up for what is right. And so we're excited to see this campaign that was started by the late, great Martin Luther King Jr., taken up by the great Reverend William Barber, as we continue to draw attention to these issues in our country. And we will move this struggle forward, and the work that we do will not be in vain. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to a wonderful program tonight.
Yes, we are today. everybody, as we're coming to you again from the Poor People's Campaign in Washington, D.C. for our Jam Night Justice and Music and Arts for the Movement. And we're at the 19th Street Church on 16th Street. Isn't that interesting? And I guess you just heard those drummers. It's just always, drumming is a part of movement building. Drumming was often used in culture to stir up the spirit and to give cadences of how we should march. Before we go into tonight's music, I just want to remind us and say a few things about the campaign and the rhythm of the campaign. We have seen a tremendous rhythm over the last 3 weeks. We've had over 2,000 people present themselves for nonviolent, moral, fusion, civil disobedience, and thousands of witnesses. We've seen this movement be picked up in literally hundreds of newspapers, and if you add blogs and all those other things, thousands of articles across the country. AP is now doing a major story on poverty in America. We just did PBS News Hour about the movement, and that's what Europe are doing. And people are starting to wake up and ask the question about why is it that we have some of the disparities in the wealthiest nation in the world. I want to talk some about that tonight because we're doing a quasi-study in a church tonight, and I want to do just a tad bit of Bible study tonight with us. You know, there are a couple of scriptures that really help us focus when we talk about this work. There's one that Jews and Muslims and Christians and either other religions honor. It's in Isaiah, and it says, "Woe unto those who legislate evil and rob the poor of their rights, Pastor." And then there's another in the New Testament where Jesus actually said that nations, not individual charity, not individual church, but nations would be judged by how nations deal with the poor, the immigrant, the undocumented, the sick, and the imprisoned. This movement, one of the things we're saying to this country in song, in sound, and in protest, is that we are demanding an end to racist voter suppression. That means we want the full restoration of the Voting Rights Act. We want automatic voter registration at 18. If you're drafted to ward 18, you can be automatically registered at 18. We want multiple days to vote, voting as a holiday. We want early voting and same-day registration across the country. When it comes to poverty, we want living wages, guaranteed income as assistance for the disabled and the extreme poor. We want to make sure everybody has a living wage job, full employment. We want single-payer health care for the 37 million people without health care. We demand clean water, access to clean water, clean environment, and to even create jobs by developing a whole infrastructure to help us make a better and a green economy. We want to cease warmongering and profiteering from war and take some of the money that we put into war and put it into programs for public education and college education and health care. And we're challenging the religiosity of nationalism, which says that all you have to do is keep saying the country is great, America is number one, and wave the flag and everything is fine, when actually deep moral faith calls us to critique the injustices of the nation and even the world. Now, why do we want these things? Well, as I said, Isaiah 10 says, "Woe unto those who legislate evil and rob the poor of their rights." God said the poor have rights, because God recognizes people are poor, not because the poor will always be with you, but because of the decisions of human beings that cause the poor to always be with us. Because God has created this world that there's enough for everybody if we would do right, and if we would treat one another right, and we would shape our policies right. Our policies were driven by love and justice rather than greed and meanness. We also know that ultimately the nation cannot survive when you have the nation's kind of like a pyramid, and if you got a whole underclass that's holding up just a few people, and that foundation continues to crumble, the whole thing will crumble. And so we have to be about the business of having this Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival, because we have more than a political problem and more than a Democrat problem, a Republican problem. When you look at America today, and we have less voting rights today than we had in 1965 because of the gutting right of the Voting Rights Act. That's more than a Republican and Democrat, but that's a moral problem. When we're in a country that says we are a democracy, but even in places like New York, we only have one day to vote. And some states don't have early voting, and other states do. And just yesterday, I was reading an article where a secretary of state, I think of Wisconsin, actually was bragging that he intentionally put photo ID in place to keep the vote down, with, to ensure a victory for Trump and a victory for Ryan in the state of Wisconsin. Bragging about it in a democracy. That's a serious moral problem, a deep problem, whether your morality comes out of faith or comes out of the Constitution. When we have a city like D.C. and all the people represented there, and they have taxation without representation, that's not just a Democrat problem, because even when Democrats had, a Republican problem, because even when Democrats had the House and the presidency, they didn't deal with it. The people are being underrepresented and right in the nation's capital, so the capital of democracy. We have 37 million people without health care. That's a moral problem. It's considering that we are one of the 25 wealthiest nations in this country and the only one that doesn't offer health care to all of its people. When we have 13 million children that are poor today, more than 100 and some odd years after the passing of the Emancipation Proclamation. Think about that. Today, we have 140 million people living in poverty. 73% of those are women and children. That's 43.5% of all the people in America are living in a poverty, a low wealth. That's a moral problem. You talk about death. Death, we have terrible, ugly gun violence that we should all be enraged by. But 250,000 people a year. That's 20,000 people a month die from low wage and poverty, more than cancer, heart attack, and strokes. That's a moral issue. When you talk about environmental injustice that's happening, I was listening to folk in Illinois today, and what's going on in Chicago on the south side, poisoning the community, or in Flint, or in other places, even here in the city that I come from, Goldsboro. And people can buy, as I often say, unleaded water and can't buy unleaded gas and can't buy unleaded water. And 4 million families in this country have lead in their water. And I went to a county, Lowndes County, Alabama, with Liz, Theo Harris, the other co-chair, and they told us 35% of all the people that have parasites in their water in the 21st century. That's a moral problem. It's a moral problem. And when we're spending 53 cents of every dollar on war, and some people want to take it to 63 cents, and only 15 cents of every discretionary dollar for education and health care and infrastructure. Dr. King said any nation that does that is approaching spiritual death. A Republican named Eisenhower said we had to watch out for the intentional and the unintentional power of the military-industrial complex. It would ruin us as a country, he said. And then when we have religious preachers who are justifying, you know, we got 1,500 children missing at the border simply because they're Latino. Where are all these preachers that talk about family values? Where are all the folk that talk about they love family? They love the Lord. They're silent. In fact, I don't know how many of you know it, but the day that Donald Trump was getting inaugurated, the first sermon that he heard was preached by a man named Jeffers, whom I believe the theology he promotes is heresy and theological malpractice. And in that first sermon, he looked at Donald Trump and said, God endorses walls. And he was trying to, he preached, he claimed from Nehemiah, but he misused the text. And because, first of all, as a Christian, Jesus tore down walls. Tore down walls. And when you have religious leaders who, for greed, that will basically go around and basically say, you know, if you are against gay people and against abortion and for prayer in the school and for tax cuts and for gun rights and for Israel's embassy being in Jerusalem, no matter how much strife, if that's what you're for, then you're promoting a so-called godly agenda, moral agenda. That's just wrong. It's nothing about love. It's nothing about grace. It's nothing about justice. Nothing about uplifting the poor. Right now, Franklin Graham, they tell me, is in California doing a tour, and he basically said that to be a progressive is to be an atheist. In other words, be progressive. You want the country to, you know, the Constitution calls us to be progressive because the Constitution says we are trying to be a more perfect union. That's progressivism. To recognize we can do better than we've done, and we ought to want to do better than we've done. And we ought to want to grow. We ought to want to become. And that's why we have to have this campaign that has the right kind of righteous anger, but rooted in love and justice, that will shock this nation, that will break open the narrative, that will cause us to talk about the poor and change the agenda. And we have to be concerned, because most of the stuff I just listed, it's not because I'm so smart or Liz is so smart. We did the research, but people know it and are not talking about it. You don't hear what I just said on the evening news. We hear more about lawyers fighting, about what we're guessing Russia's has done, and that's a serious issue. But my point is, even now in about racism, we're talking about Roseanne Barr's words, but we're not talking about the works of racism. There are people who will never say what Roseanne Barr said, but they're participating in racist policies every day. Not caring about Palestinian children as much as you care about Jewish children and American children. That's racism and xenophobia. Attacking immigrants on the border, that's racism. Mass incarceration of black people, that's racism. Denying people the right to vote, and that's real racism, that's policy racism. But even right now, when you see the way indigenous people are being treated on reservation, did you know that the native people, Indians, still can't own their own houses on the reservations that this country threw them onto in the 21st century? That's racism. And yet people want to talk about racism just words. Jesus said trees are known by the fruit they bear. And right now, if you look at TV tonight, people are talking about racism, they're talking about words, and they're getting caught up in interpersonal, individual acts of bias. But Dr. King and Rabbi Heschel and Dorothy Day and Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman and others, they didn't die for words. They didn't march to change people's words. They marched to change policy. Policies. Dr. King one time said, you might not love me, but this law will keep you from lynching me. Sure, we want people to change in their individual hearts, but if you wait for every individual to change, justice will never come. We have to address systems. As I often say, it's not what's in people's heart, it's what's in the heart of their policies. I'm going to say something tonight that might sound strange, Grayler. But you can be black and be a white nationalist, because you can be black with power, but if you vote the agenda of white nationalism, what is the agenda of white nationalism? Anti-immigrant, particularly Latino, anti-healthcare, anti-voting rights. I know there are some black politicians in our Congress that vote the agenda of white nationalism. And so that's why we have to have a movement, not of hate, but of love and truth and justice, a movement that's daring to say that systemic racism, systemic poverty, ecological devastation, the war economy are all interlocking injustices, And all of the great religions tell us that we should stand against those injustices. But not only must we have a movement that curses the darkness, we must have a movement that opens to the light and brings hope. And that's what's happening. And any movement that's going to be a power movement must also have a rhythm. That movement must sing together. Ain't going to let nobody turn us around. Sing together. I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. Sing together. Sing together. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on justice. Singing together. Singing. Somebody's hurting our people and we won't be silent anymore. Singing together has been essential to movement building. Every powerful movement, the abolitionists, they wrote their songs. The social gospel movement wrote their songs. The civil rights movement had their songs. They even tell me in the scripture, Jesus was singing as Rome took him to the cross. The prophets of the Bible were singers. Read their word. They were poets. They were spoken word artists of 700 and 800 and 500 and 600 BC. And still today, not only must a movement have facts, not only must a movement have faces, not only must a movement have protests, and not only must a movement have righteous indignation, a movement must have rhythm. The kind of joy that gives you hope, not optimism, but hope. The kind of rhythm and song that feeds your spirit when you want to sit down. So tonight, all across the nation, I want to invite Sister Yara Allen. I hope that she's there now. I know there was some flooding going on, but I want to invite her to come up. She's a theomusicologist for the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, and the theomusicologist for repairs of the break. And for the next few minutes, I don't know how long, because you know singers get going, there's no telling what might happen, but we're going to have a time all over the nation. We welcome all of you from Alaska to Alabama, from California to the Carolinas, from Maine to Mississippi, who are joining us tonight. Let's sing together tonight. Let's do poetry together tonight. But let's sing and do poetry that sings the words and the rhythm of the movement. And then let's get ready for next Monday when we go back again to the state capitals. And then don't forget to go ahead and mark June the 23rd for the mass call to action rally. Not the end of the movement, but the last day of launching the movement. And the call to action will send us forward to do this work for the next years as we change the narrative, the heart, and the consciousness and the policies of America. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for having me to come. I'm sorry that I had to come home, but a deep sister, mother of our church passed, and I'm a pastor at heart, and I had to be home with this family in order to minister to the mother of our church. She's over 80 years old. I know you understand that, my friend. And I thank you for letting us come tonight. Thank you, Reverend Grayler, for having us here tonight and pointing us to the 19th Street Church on 16th Street. I can't get over that. I love that. The 19th Street Church on 16th Street. God bless you. Yara, show them what you know. Show them a little of that Kojic Pentecostal mix that you do with public, with singing and all that. I'm out. God bless you. I'll see you on the streets.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Are you ready to sing?
Yes.
Good evening to everybody watching via live stream. You know that Thursday nights we set aside this time to sing together, to go over some of the songs that we're going to use in next week's campaign, and just to revisit the theme for this week. And so it's raining here. I don't know what it looks like where you are, but it's raining, it's raining, it's raining. When I left North Carolina today, it was raining, raining, raining. So, but that's okay, because we're not going to let a few raindrops turn us around, are we? So I need a few people up here to fill this space. I need a few people to fill this space. That's right. I need a few more people to fill this space. Because we're going to do a little singing. We might do a little dancing with these fantastic drummers and this amazing keyboardist. So we're going to warm up tonight, all right? We're going to take a little time to do a little choir rehearsal, and you all, where you are, can warm up your pipes, as they say. All right? Now, you know I have to check the room. I always have to check the room. So where are my altos? Sopranos. We're going to fake soprano tonight, all right? Tenors. Bass baritone. All right, so here's what we're going to do, because we definitely want our drummers to be seen. Let's split the waters just a little bit. Let's kind of even it up. You know I'm setting you up for something, right? Okay, all right. So let's start off with, since Reverend Barbara mentioned this song, Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around, okay? Which happens to be one of our songs for next week, okay? Ain't gonna let nobody... No, 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 ain't gonna let nobody. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up the freedom land. Ain't gonna let a little rain drop. No. Like to keep with the tradition of our movement music from the 50s and the 60s, because these are the songs that give us cues about how to fight. And so they bring with them this wonderful, strong, resilient spirit of the ancestors that we have to embrace today. And I always say this, so when somebody says something to me that sticks, young person said to me, this is not your grandmama's movement. This is not your mama's movement. And I had to correct the sister and say, yes, it is. It really is. It's their movement because they taught us how to fight, right? Okay, so one of the other songs we're going to use is We Shall Not Be Moved. Right, ready? Y'all sound good. Somebody said you're not soprano. We didn't have, where's the fake soprano? Are you? Okay, can we? Okay, all right. Here we go. We shall not
be moved. We shall not. Just like a tree planted by the water, we shall not be moved. Come here, say. Oh, we shall not. We shall not. We shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Fight for freedom and justice. We shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. United in the movement, we shall not be moved. United in the movement, we shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the wall. Oh, we shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. No, we shall not be moved. We shall not. We shall not. We shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the wall. Oh, tree planted by the water.
in water. Oh, just like a tree planted by the water, we shall not be moved. Yeah, we're fighting for our health care. Oh, we're fighting for our health care. Yeah, just like a tree planted by the water. So here comes the setup part. Here comes the fun part. There's some papers. There's some papers over there with words on them. Adam, okay, you have them right here. There's one typo. My assistant was off that day.
What?
Okay, I did it. All right. So this song is a song called We Don't Want War. All right? And so we're going to take the opportunity to teach it here and to allow you all to teach where you are, and we'll learn this song together. And it goes, we don't want war. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat these words after me. We don't want war. We want justice.
We don't want war. We want justice.
But justice won't come without peace. We want to live in a world without fear. Hear us.
We want to live in a world without fear. Hear us.
War cease. War cease.
War cease.
Okay. So, let's go to the next verse. Tell me why people are dying.
Tell me why people are dying.
In schools and at the hands of police.
In schools and at the hands of police.
War's been declared on the people. It's evil. War cease, war cease.
War cease,
now some people have a problem with calling that evil, but the first definition of evil is without morals, without deep morals, okay? And how immoral do you have to be to kill unarmed people, all right? And here's the last verse. We don't want war, we want justice.
We don't want war, we want justice.
We'll bend the ark till it comes.
We are the change that
are justice for all, not some.
Justice for all, not some.
Now you gotta move with this because we have drummers. And so you gotta shake your groove thing tonight. Where's the pastor? Pastor, is that all right? Can
what?
we can get by with that tonight? We'll be in church on Sunday. Okay. We'll keep okay. Well, now that is true because some songs instruct you to take them off when it gets hot, right? Okay, so we're not going to do that. All right. Roz Pallas, give it up for Roz Pallas. Will you join us up here, Roz? Come on up. Come on. Okay, so Brother Maceo, can you give me the tune to this song? So let me give you a key, and let's see if you, because I always start on the key that the musician did not rehearse, right? So I'll give you a sample and a little sample of this, and then you're gonna catch on. We don't want war, we want justice. Justice won't come without peace. We want to live in a world without fear. Hear us, war cease, war cease. Can we take that up a little bit? Can we take that up a little bit? Is everybody comfortable there? Everybody good? We want to live in a world without fear. Hear us, war cease, war cease.
Okay, ready to try that first verse? Tighten it up just a little bit, just a little bit. One more, yeah, take it up, one more. One more. There you go. Y'all hanging in there with us? Okay. Now give me your best move once you get this. I know you need it under your belt first. Here we go. First verse. We don't want war.
We don't want war. We want justice. But justice won't come without peace. We want to live in a world without fear. Hear us. War. Cease. War. Cease. Now answer back.
Did you get that? Let's stop right there, okay? So the call is, oh. Let's try that together. And after we say no war, we're going to turn our drummers loose before we go to the next verse, okay? All right, best move, best moves. Ready? Here we go.
We don't want war, we want justice. Justice won't come without peace. We want to live in a world without fear. Hear us. War cease, war cease.
The call.
And at the hands of police, war's been declared on the people. It's evil. War cease, war cease.
Now comes the tricky part. Do you know the first verse without looking at the paper? Because out there in the real world, you really don't have time for the papers. And so I will encourage anybody who's using song sheets while you're in the middle of battle, toss them. And if you have to come off the top of your head with something, do that. Okay? So hands up if you know the first verse, because there's action to this. Okay, papers down. Now, this is probably going to be a little hard for the cameraman, but let's form a circle. Let's form a circle. But you're not going to hold hands. We want you across the shoulders of the person next to you. All right? Yeah, free the drummers. Okay, let's try it. We don't want war, we want
justice.
But justice
won't come without peace.
We want to live in a world without fear.
Hear us.
War cease, war cease. So now, if you can't do this, I understand. We're going to bend over slightly. And we're going to all agree to go to the right first. Okay. Now, this is organized in one-on-one, right?
Okay, yeah.
Right. Because when the leader says go right, you can't go left.
Okay.
Right? Okay. I mean, you can, but you're going to be terribly out of step. All right. So I'm going to put the mic down. And it comes with the rock. Drummers, if you will give us something of that. That's right there, okay? And you still put your arm around that person. So who are the first two? Who are the first two? Pastor took off his coat. All right, so the two of you. So when we say no war, you step out. When we say no war, all right, you ready? Whatever. Your no war dance. Here we go. Everybody say yeah. Yeah. All right. Brother Maceo, can we take it up one more time? All right. Let's get the rock together. Here we go. To the right and boom.
Justice won't come without peace. We want to live hear us. War, cease, war, cease. We want to live in a world without fear. Hear us. War, cease, war, cease. Justice won't come without peace. We want to live in a world without fear. Hear us. War, cease, war, cease. From the gym for 2 days. Hold on, hold on. One closing song. Keep your energies together, and we're going to close. We're going to close together. And since next week is around healthcare, our ecology, clean water, clean air, we're going to do a song that kind of travels throughout the movement, as will Everybody's Got a Right to Live. So it's okay if we repeat songs, because the evils are repeated, right? And we can't make things a one-time wonder and sit down and wonder why there's no change. And so we're going to do Everybody's Got a Right to Live. Now, there's a week set aside for us, so when you see that week, don't say, she already did that. Well, they already did that. And they're doing it again and again and again and again and again and again and over and over. And they're not tired, right? Okay, so we're going to do Somebody's Hurting My Brother.
Let's tighten up again. I love energy. I know it's kind of warm, but I love the energy of the person next to me. Because when you get tired of fighting out there, it gets hot. You're going to need somebody to lean on. Lean on me. When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. If there is a load that you can't bear, and you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call me.
Okay. That was not the song.
But it felt good, didn't it? You have to be spontaneous like that. Okay? Like, when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light you see, no, I won't be afraid, no, I'll
be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. Ooh, oh, 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 stand by me. Whoa, stand by me. Just as long as you stand by me.
You know that wasn't a song either, but it's okay. I have a dozen more, Eric, but we're not going to do that tonight. So we'll close with Everybody's Got a Right to Live. And I mean everybody. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to dignity. And I wasn't going to tell this right here, but I got to tell this little story. So I was on the way up here today, and I stopped off to grab something to drink in Virginia. And I saw four police officers surrounding one man. And they stripped this man bare in public. They did. They stripped him from the waist down. And apparently he had been sitting in a wheelchair, was taking some things. And the items that they retrieved were items that people would sell on the street. It was not my place to judge why that man was taking that. I don't know if he had a habit to support or a family. That was not my business. But what was my business was that this man was not only stripped of his clothes, but his dignity in public. And everybody has a right to at least that. Take him to trial if you have to, but don't strip him of his dignity. And that's what's happening all over this country. Parents are being stripped of dignity when they open the refrigerator and they can't find food for their children. They're stripped of their dignity when it's time to pay the rent and they can't pay it because they have to choose between doing one thing and another. It does something to a father's pride, you know? So we lift this song, Everybody's Got a Right to Live. Now, this part right here calls for conviction. Before this campaign failed, we'll all go down to jail because everybody's got a right to live. Okay? Choir rehearsal version. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got, come on y'all and help us sing it out there. It's last song. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail.
Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to love. Got a right to love. Everybody's got a right to love. And before this campaign fail, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to learn. Everybody's got a right to learn. Everybody's got a right to learn. And before this campaign fail, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fail, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got. So the young people did this. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to love. Everybody's got a right to learn. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to love. Everybody's got a right to learn. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fail, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to live.
Keep singing. Point to the camera, everybody, and tell all of our song leaders and all of our theo musicologists, our visual artists, documentarians, keep singing.
Keep singing.